We actually had said it earlier on in the week that we thought that's what the verdict was going to be. Our reaction, most of us are parents, so you can imagine we were heartbroken. It shouldn't have happened. Not in this day and age, not in any age. We didn't put out a statement out of respect, I suppose, and courtesy. And I think we thought the parents needed time to digest everything as well. Like, they've not just lost their child, but they've been given a life sentence of what has happened, why it happened. Will never be answered really properly for them.
It's the worst thing that can happen to parents, yeah. To lose a child, but to lose a child in circumstances when it didn't have to happen,
could have been prevented. Like I say myself, like for a mother, a child is the only one that hears their mother's heartbeat from the inside. So we can't fathom even what their family is going through. They had to relive it again publicly at an inquest last week. It was bad enough having to live through it when it happened, but to live through it publicly in front of everybody again. And I don't think there's a mother or father in the country whose heart didn't go out to them. It shouldn't have happened. It could have been prevented.
The plenty of evidence obviously heard over the course of the inquest, Deirdre, much of which no doubt was very difficult to hear and must have been so upsetting to the Johnston family. Some, as I mentioned, UHL staff members describing the facility as a war zone on the day it presented. The overcrowding was unprecedented. The consultant, Dr. James Gray, told the inquest that the emergency department was like a death trap on the weekend IFA presented. No trolleys available in the ED. There was a breakdown in communications between staff, deficits in nursing staff, a lack of ED doctors. Consultants had refused to attend the emergency department when called upon by desperate nurses. Aoife was dying from a sepsis infection and she was vomiting while on a makeshift trolley. I know people have seen the pictures of the two chairs that her family put together for her to try and make her comfortable. Aoife's parents said her condition deteriorated to such a degree during that time that they and other patients were advocating for her to be seen. However, a doctor didn't examine her for 12 hours and she didn't receive what was said to be life-saving antibiotics until it was too late, a full 15 hours after she presented. What John McNamara, the coroner, called systematic failures at University
Hospital. Absolutely, and lack of communication. The communication system is broken down there, it seems to be. Like you've had Bernard Gloucester come out over the weekend saying that things have improved. If things have improved, why are we waiting for two more inquests of two young people that died earlier this year? We're still in April, like, and we're already waiting for two inquests on two further cases. Another young girl, that again possibly that will come out with the same verdict.
Although we don't know that.
But as I said, possibly will. Mm. But as you say, we don't know that. But it's still two young lives that have been lost down in UHL.
Your group are calling for the CEO of the UL Hospitals Group, Cleckown, to be called before the Dáil Health Committee.
Yes.
What do you want her to answer? What particular issues or questions do you want her to answer before the committee if she was to appear?
I think there's quite a lot that she needs to answer. Basically, we know there's an investment of money, big money going in there. Where is it going? Why is it there? Why is her office out in Rain? Why isn't she on site? What measures has she taken to the last TIQA report in 2021-22? What measures has she taken to do what they said has to be done? Why didn't doctors come in when they were called, or consultants come in when they were called in Aoife Johnston's case? Is that a regular thing? Why is there one consultant covering three areas, Ennis, Limerick and Nina? Like the doctor that said he wasn't Superman, like he is right. He can't be in three places at one time. And that is, so what does she intend to do to ensure that this doesn't happen again?
Okay, that's not the only call you're making. You also want Stephen Donnelly, the health minister, to instruct Dr. Colin Mahenry, the chief clinical officer, to undertake a full new clinical review of hospital services in the UN Hospitals Group.
That's right, yes. The clinical advice that we saw that Stephen Donnelly had got in December of 23 is actually based on the 2009 clinical advice. We dispute quite a lot of that. You will have seen that we've gone through each part of it. So it has to be updated. Our population has increased. You have one hospital, supposedly a centre of excellence, that has never materialised. It's like as if we were lied to back in 2009. Again, as I said, the population has increased, but nothing has increased in UHL. There's money being pumped into it. 383 million per annum is their budget. Like, where is it going? Would that not have been better maybe ring-fenced for an A&E, a second A&E in the Midwest region, as we said, preferably Ennis. Like Ennis, covered, we're the only county in Munster that does not have an A&E.
And
we're looking
something
for a Model 3. And we also don't have a Model 3 hospital to online with a Model 4. Like, so and UHL is a Model 4, so there should be a Model 3 hospital within the area. So, like, we're obviously we're going to fight for Ennis. I'm from West Clare. Opening an A&E in Nina is no good to us back in West Clare. Like,
do you feel, and this is something distance has come up quite often on this show when we speak about people, particularly out from the west and north of the county, needing services, that even if UHL was running smoothly, it would still be preferable to have an emergency department in Ennis just for ease of access and speed in getting there, if you live out where you live.
Yes, absolutely. And the other side of it is you have, we're hearing of the burnout of the nurses and the doctors down in UHL. We feel that if there was a Model 3 in Ennis or any of the areas, but as I said, we're preferably Ennis, that is going to alleviate that burnout from them. Now, I know they say staffing is a problem, but at the moment, staffing would be a problem because you don't want to be burnt out. But if you have a pleasant working environment, burnout will dissipate.
We know there's a 96-bed block under construction at University Hospital Limerick, a second one due to be completed by 2028. Would you have rather than going ahead with those, would you have preferred to see that money set aside? And because any time we talk about reopening the emergency department in Ennis, issue of patient safety comes up, but would you prefer, Deirdre, if that money had been set aside to look into reopening the ED at Ennis, ensuring it's safe for patients and staff, and that process could have been well underway at this stage?
Absolutely, yes. And the 96 beds were actually only 71.
71, yeah.
Right. So the shortfall of that 96, the other 25, we'll say, are going to be taken off the next 96, if you understand what I'm saying. So when you do the maths that way, you're still not getting your full 112.
And even with that, Dr. James Gray said that they would help those two 96 bed blocks, as you say, not full 96 in both. He told the inquest at least 300 additional beds were needed in UHL to resolve the overcrowding in the emergency department. Two, even it, with these two blocks being built, there's still going to be more needed. Can you see that happen? And if indeed it's going to happen, it's not likely to be anytime soon.
Yeah, but the other side of
when
it
they're
is
needed now.
Those are 300 now that are needed. Next
how much more could it be further down the line?
Yes, in 2028 they're going to be more. That's possibly going to be tripled. That they'll need 900. Our population is increasing. It's pointless saying it's not. I do think that the money has to be invested into looking into and actually signing off and saying, yes, that there is a Model 3 hospital going to be put into the Midwest. As I said again, preferably Innes. They say that Innes was unsafe, clinically unsafe. I don't think they can stand over and say now that UHL is clinically safe, because it isn't, and we all know it isn't.
When we were talking about this last week, Carl Crowe's with us, the Mílic Fianna Fáil TD, who told us it's like yourselves, it's inevitable that the Midwest will need a second ED because of the projected population rise. How likely do you think it is that, do you think the case for reopening the ED in Ennis is growing louder? How much more likely do you think it is to happen, and will it need a lot of political support, particularly from our political representatives?
You're going to need political support across the board for this. I don't care what party they are, and it shouldn't be used as a political football. I do think, and I've often said, that our politicians, some of them suffer from ostrich syndrome, and they keep their head in the sand and they hope that when the head comes up that they will actually, the problem will have gone away. I think if anything that has come out of Aoife Johnson's death is that they realise the problem has not gone away. It's not going away. In fact, it has got worse. So they need to act, and they need to act promptly before we have more tragedies.
Carl told us that the necessary capacity and resources have to be in place first in order to open the ED in Ennis safely. Should the government prioritise an ED in Ennis now, get working on it, look into making it safe, and with this talk of projected population rise, reopen an ED in Ennis that can cater for the population that it's likely to be in 4 or 5 years' time, whenever an emergency department will hypothetically reopen?
100% they should be, and start the ball rolling now. Like we've said it, we know it's not going to happen overnight. We're not that naive to think that Stephen Donnelly is going to go into his office this morning and sign off and say, open Ennis. That's not going to happen. He can sign whatever he wants today, but then everything has to start. He can start the ball rolling today if he wants to.
But we'd still be looking at years.
We're still looking at years.
Before.
Yes.
Do you think there should be a state apology following Aoife's death? Carl Crowe told us he's calling for a state apology.
Yeah, I do.
Do you think one is likely? We've seen Simon Harris make a state apology on behalf of the state for the victims of the Stardust tragedy.
Yeah, how many years later? I think
43, yeah.
Yeah. I do think there should be a state apology. Will it help the Johnson family? I don't know. But at least it will be acknowledged that the state failed them as well. Like, if everything was in place and everything was working as smoothly as it's supposed to work, Aoife would still be here today. You know?
In the meantime, a reopened emergency department in Ennis is a hypothetical. It's not a reality. Any other solutions, bar the two 96-bed blocks, are hypotheticals as well. What do you want to see happen in the near future, preferably at University Hospital Limerick, to tackle this situation and the overcrowding? You know, obviously we've mentioned the two 96-bed blocks, but other than that,
they definitely need to sort out their communication, the lack of communication between departments. I think as well that it was to take a manager, I think, to call that there was an emergency. I think when it hits a certain number, that emergency button should be hit. And even if it means that the emergency is for 2, 3, 4 hours to clear, we'll say, the backlog of patients and bring everybody in hands on. You know, we can't have this keep happen again. The continuous trolleys every day. Like the, I haven't looked at the numbers this morning, but yesterday there was 123. Like, we can't have that continuously happening. They're not going down, you know, and then you suddenly you're back into, we'll say, the winter season or whatever, that they're supposed to be back up again. But they're not even going down in the summer season, not that we've had a summer, but like, there's no decrease. There's no noticeable decrease that you could say, okay, what we're doing is working. Obviously, what they're doing is not working.
Okay, we do have to leave it there. But Deirdre, appreciate you coming into studio this morning. Deirdre Culligan there, the PRO and General Secretary of the Friends of Ennis Hospital Campaign Group. We also received a statement from the Midwest Hospital Campaign Group, which says that they would like to offer their sincere and heartfelt condolences to the Johnston family on the loss of their daughter and sister Eve as a result of what they describe as yet more catastrophic failures at the emergency department at University Hospital Limerick. They say they would like to thank both the Johnston family and their legal team for their sterling work in exposing the reality forced on the many thousands who visit UHLED every week. They say that it is not a place that any of us from Clare, Limerick or North Tipperary enter with any sense of confidence, but for many of us there is no other choice. It was important to hear the truth about the conditions in the emergency department, which has been failing both the patients and staff for a long time. The sequence of events of the evening of the 17th and 18th of December 2022 were reacted to with horror by many who have heard or read them over the past few days, and rightly so. The statement that UHLED was and is not a safe environment resonated with many. The revelation that doctors routinely prescribed medication for ED patients without first seeing or examining them is of particular concern and raises a number of issues. In particular, what other work practices are accepted as routine which may be contributing or have contributed to the environment that is the emergency department at University Hospital Limerick. However, this is a time for support for the Johnston family. Midwest Hospitals Campaign will be issuing a more detailed response in the coming days. So that is a statement from the Midwest Hospital Campaign Group. My thanks once again to Deirdre Culligan.